To meet, I will call the committee to order, and I think we can establish a quorum. You may note that Jocelyn Twilla, our normal secretary, is not here, being substituted ably, of course, but she apparently right now is in labor.
Oh, wow.
And so we decided to give her a pass so she could go ahead and have that child, and yeah, that's right, what she's doing. And being people who believe that we should encourage this kind of thing, we won't demand that she come to complete these responsibilities, but just wishing her luck at this very exciting but laborious time in one's life. So with that, I did want to just... She probably won't be here this afternoon either. Yeah, yeah. Says a man who clearly has never been through labor.
I said her husband's acting.
Oh, that's true. Hopefully he will be with her doing all the important work that a spouse does when one is going through labor, which is to get out of the way. All right. We now turn to the bills of today's agenda after we establish our quorum. Please call the roll.
Jackson?
Here.
Jackson here. Morlock?
Present.
Morlock here. Anderson?
Here.
Anderson here. Hertzberg? Leno? Monning?
Here.
Monning here. Wieckowski?
All right, a quorum is present, and today's two measures. We will take up file item 1, SB 997. I'd like to ask that for each bill, there be two main witnesses, 2 minutes each in support, followed by those who wish to identify themselves, their affiliation, and their support for the bill. Then we'll have a maximum of 2 witnesses in opposition, 2 minutes each. They will then, opposition will step forward, and additional opposition, give us name, affiliation, and your opposition to the bill. We have, as our first item, SB 997, by Senator Lahr. I'd like to indicate that the committee has received no opposition to the measure, and that we are hearing the bill pursuant to Rule 2910, Subdivision D, to determine whether the assembly amendments should be concurred in. And with that, we will proceed. Senator Lahr, good afternoon.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Under existing law, California notaries, notaries public can only accept certain types of documents to verify identity. SB 997 includes identifications issued by the federally recognized tribal government among the list of acceptable identifications for notaries. There is an increasing number of elderly, impoverished Native Americans living in rural areas with limited access to accepted forms of identification. As a result, many of the Native Americans, usually tribally issued identification cards, use tribally issued identification cards rather than driver's license or other currently accepted forms of identification. Washington and Oregon have passed individual state laws to address this concern. SB 997 increases accessibility to vital services for Native Americans that can only afford to possess the tribal identification cards. I respectfully ask for I vote.
Thank you. Witnesses in support, 2 minutes each, please.
Jed Parr, Directing Attorney of California Indian Legal Services, Sacramento office. I've been at CILS for about 10 years now, and Sonia Montero has been there even longer than that. We've done lots of wills under federal law for folks who own trust land, which is land technically owned by the federal government in the name of a tribe or individual persons. In order to get those wills recognized in through the federal probate process, it helps if they are able, the testators are able to do an affidavit to demonstrate that their identities were checked when they executed the will. And oftentimes, you have elderly folks who are kind of off the beaten path. A lot of the reservation and rancherias in California are far away from large centers of population. It can be difficult for those elderly people to go in and get a driver's license or an ID card when they need one. So I've come across a number of situations where a tribal identification card is the only identification that a testator or some other elderly person would have. And the reason for this bill is in order to help those people get those documents and get them notarized without having to make them wait to go apply for an ID or a driver's license.
Thank you very much. Other witnesses in support, very briefly.
Very briefly, my name is Sonia Montero. I'm an advocate, again, with California Indian Legal Services, and I have been in notary public for 18 years. In that time period, I have had to reject people from, they have not had anything in terms of their identification other than the tribal ID card, and I have had to reject that notary because of that reason. I've spoken with other notaries in Washington and Oregon where that is, that the law is different, and it's very easy for them to complete, like Jed was saying, the Indian trust wills and other documentation from the Bureau of Indian Affairs that's necessary to conduct their business.
Thank you very much. Other witnesses in support? Any witnesses in opposition? Seeing and hearing none, just want to clarify that these cards are cards that are reliable and accurate in terms of identifying the person that they are intended to identify.
Correct, and they do have the 5 points that any other foreign passport would have, say, under California law.
Great, thank you. Any other questions or comments from the members? Motion by Senator Leno. Senator Lara, you may close.
I respectfully ask for a vote.
Very good. Please call the roll. The motion is do pass to, excuse me, amendments to be concurred in, assembly amendments to be concurred in. So with that, please call the roll.
Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Morlock?
Aye.
Morlock, aye. Anderson? Anderson, aye. Hertzberg?
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. Leno?
Aye.
Leno, aye. Monning?
Aye.
Monning, aye. Wieckowski?
Aye.
Wieckowski, aye.
All right, that bill has seven votes, no votes. It is out. Thank you very much. We'll see if we can't make the next one as brief and without any conflict. And we will now turn to that measure, AB 2280, by Assemblymember Ridley Thomas. This is another bill for which we received no opposition, and we are also hearing this bill pursuant to the Assembly, Senate rules. This is Rule 2910, Subdivision C. The bill also has an urgency clause. So with that, Assembly Member Ridley Thomas, please proceed.
Thank you, Chair, and to the distinguished members of the Committee on Judiciary, I am here to present AB 2280 as amended on August the 15th, and I'd like to thank the committee for its willingness to hear this measure. This newly amended measure includes provisions that appeared in a bill this committee has seen this session, AB 2051, authored by Assemblyman O'Donnell of Long Beach. This was heard, that measure was heard in the committee on June the 28th of this year. At the time, the committee expressed concerns about the uncertain duration of the time that a consumer facility charge would be used for financing improvements at the Los Angeles International Airport. So the bill I present you today addresses that concern by focusing solely on the Los Angeles International Airport and the ability for that consumer charge fee to be used for debt financing of its numerous construction projects, some of which you all have in front of you in materials just distributed. The fee can be collected for a totality of 35 years. It will help finance, in particular, the consolidated rental car facility, which is a very large facility that'll be built. It's at many major airports across the state and across the country. I think the most pliable example for members of the committee may be the San Jose International Airport, where you have a consolidated facility. It reduces a considerable amount of passenger miles and ancillary shuttles that you need if you have dispersed rental car placements. So this is a part of a modernization improvement of the facility and building a more sustainable LAX, which is a major economic engine, but can sometimes be a pretty substantial burden on the immediate communities because of the traffic, foot traffic, car traffic, and the like. With that, we would respectfully request an aye vote, Chair.
Thank you very much, Assemblymember. Witnesses in support.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Andrew Antwi here on behalf of the Los Angeles World Airports Authority. This bill does apply to LAX. It's part of our landside access modernization program. That's a $5 billion program that seeks to modernize the way customers access the airport for customer traffic, when they're picking up a rental car, dropping off, or actually would facilitate a rail connection for the first time ever in Los Angeles. The improvements here are timed to actually coincide with a separate set of improvements that the county is working on to bring rail to LAX. This is an important piece of legislation because it would also finance an automated people mover, which would circulate throughout all the terminals at LAX. The question before the bill, in the bill today before the committee, speaks to the allowable uses of the customer facility charge. And so with the committee's approval, we very much want to go forward and have the seventh busiest airport in the country, third in the state, go forward with this, seventh in the world, third in the United States, I should say. And we would improve ground access at LAX. We ask for your aye vote.
I was going to say third in the state.
Yeah, sorry.
Third in the country. Seventh in the world and third in the state. All right. Okay, very good.
Third in nation.
Very good. Other witnesses in support?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Member Cesar Diaz on behalf of the State Building and Construction Trades Council. Just to add on, in addition to the financing tools that this bill will provide, the LAX airport does have a lot of community local hire initiatives as well to build out these projects, allowing for apprenticeship for local residents to enter and to actually have access to these construction jobs. And for those reasons, we ask for your support.
Thank you. Other witnesses in support, name and affiliation, please. Yes, that's on. Yeah.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Renee Bayardo, SEIU, California, also in support.
Great. Thank you.
Madam Chair and members, Caitlin Vega for the California Labor Federation, also here in support.
Very good. Thank you. Any other witnesses in support? Any other witnesses in opposition? All right, if you'd step forward.
I'm Gene Urban on behalf of Enterprise. Don't oppose the bill, but it's incumbent upon me to raise with you an issue directly related to customer facility charges. I do not wish to impugn AB 2280 or the conduct of LAX, but on August 9th of this year, we received from the San Diego airport a notice that they were going to charge a one-way drop-off fee on the CFC, which this committee has zealously protected over the years. Last year, Enterprise did 3.8 million transactions originating in California airports, 16% of which had one-way drop-off charges. On the first of next year, that could be as much as $45, which is never in any revenue forecast in the audits that are submitted to this committee and your counterpart on the other side. We are asking that this practice be prohibited by this committee. We think it violates, at a minimum, the spirit of the law. We also think it violates the specific provisions of the code. We don't want to litigate it. I will tell you that San Diego has rescinded its decision and will meet with us on September 21st, but I'm not confident. They rescinded it after we strenuously objected. Can you say we raised hell? Can you say that in committee? We strenuously objected, and they rescinded it. But if they impose it during the fall when you're not here, we will be back next year asking to make absolutely certain that this committee and this legislature never intended that the customer facility charge be imposed twice. There's a bunch of analytical problems with it. Would it charge the same fee, Madam Chairperson, or less, because the services are certainly less than when you originate the contract? So we are asking for an amendment to specify that only one airport gets to collect the CSC. We would accept a brief sunset so that we are compelled to revisit this. We do not want to impede the author's efforts here, but it's directly related. It's a CFC issue, and this arose on August 9th. We have not been negligent in bringing this to the committee's attention. It would have been negligent of me if I hadn't raised it.
Thank you. Any other witnesses in opposition or concern? You get 2 minutes at the most, and I want to, if I can sort of address this issue, I think that's a critically important issue. I do not believe that it is the subject of this particular legislation. If we want to bring it up next year, I think that that would be a totally appropriate thing to do. And I think this committee agrees that we need a full and robust discussion. But as I read this bill, I don't see that as being within the purview of what this bill calls for. So if you'd like to address another issue, happy to have you do
that. Madam Chair, if you may, Richard Harris on behalf of the San Diego Airport, which seems to have driven.
Sure. Well, you were raised, so you get 2 minutes to respond. Although, again, I'd like to make it clear that that we are going afield, I believe, of what this bill does. And so I really want to make sure that what we are voting on today is what this bill does, and issues that are addressed are of concern, but not today, but not with this particular bill. I don't see anywhere where this bill addresses that point. And but it certainly is a discussion. And if you'd share with us your insights, I'd appreciate it.
If I might, then I would just say we wholly agree with you that this is not the proper vehicle to have this discussion, and we're more than happy to have it later. We did not, the San Diego Airport did not do what it did intending to raise this issue. In fact, they just opened up a brand new CFC. It's wonderful. It took 80 rental car shuttles off the road. Now they use about 25 shuttles that go from their terminal inside the airfield down to their main terminals, and it's a wonderful facility. It's brand new. All they had asked the rental car companies for was an accounting of where are the cars coming from and what do you have there? Just give us some information. And then as soon as they found out there were concerns with that being raised by the rental car company, said, okay, oh, time out. Let's bring everybody together and talk about this. Frankly, they should have done that first before they sent a letter saying, give us information not only on where those rental car things were, but what your drop-offs are and where are the cars coming from that come to the airport. Clearly, they should have. So if we're going to have this discussion in the legislative arena next year regarding all of that, we happily will engage in that and learn from this committee and the history of the CFCs and all. We're quite happy with the way the facilities come about and what we've got going.
Thank you. Other witnesses, very briefly.
Jim Lights on behalf of the California Airports Council, the 33 commercial airports in the state, including the busiest airport in the state. We appreciate your comments, Madam Chair. We would simply ask that the committee allow these local conversations to take place and bring all airports into that discussion, and look forward to having that. Thank you.
I think that would be an excellent idea, and I will look forward to any legislative discussions that might take place at that time. Again, I do not believe that that is within, that issue is within the purview of this bill or is being contemplated. And Mr. Ridley Thomas, if you can confirm that, I think that that will take that issue off the table.
That would be accurate, Chair. You accurately reflect the intent and motivations of this bill at current time.
Very good. Are there questions? We'll start with Senator Hertzberg, followed by Senator Wieckowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to address the question, Mr. Antwi. My understanding, if it's correct, is that the purpose of this measure, that the motivation for this measure was driven by your bond lawyers for the World Airports to make sure that there was clarity in the law with respect to collecting this fee and being able to securitize the revenue stream. Is that correct?
That's correct, Senator.
That's really what this is about.
Yes.
Now, can I just ask another fun question? The bill says Los Angeles International Airport defines it as a term. Is there any place in the law that defines it as a specific place? I mean, what happens, for example, if we wanted to move the airport and do a financing? I didn't tell this to the author, but I just thinking as I'm sitting here, when I reread the bill, there's no definition of what that really is. It's okay, I don't have a problem with it because the bond lawyers will make sure. But if, for example, somebody wanted to move the airport, whatever, it doesn't really matter. It's as long as you call it the world LAX, it's LAX, right? Is that a fair statement? The bond lawyers will deal with otherwise. I'm just kind of curious.
Interesting question that you raised. The bill itself, 2280, does not specifically identify the geographic location of LAX. But LAX is called by a couple of different names. The Los Angeles World Airports Authority is the name of the Joint Powers Authority because the Los Angeles Department of Airports, which is the proper name in LA City Government of LAX, is actually a subdivision of LA City Government, and that is defined in the city code and other places.
Charter.
But the LAWA reference is because there's a Joint Powers Authority because we also own assets outside of the city jurisdiction.
Palmdale, Ontario.
Ontario, which we're in the process of selling to Ontario Airport Authority. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good
eye there, Senator. Senator Wieckowski.
Which leads into my question. We're only expanding LAX's ability to expanding these financing options for bonds, lease agreements, other forms. I guess it would have been the airport, the 32 airports. Is there a benefit of expanding these type of leasing agreements? So I understand, is this unique to LA, that only LA can take advantage of this expanded financial authority, or is this something that we should be looking at for other wannabe airports that need parking?
I do know that there are other airports that have an interest in the provisions of this bill, which if it is enacted, I think they would like to explore.
Did we have a motion?
All right. Any other discussion or debate on this? There was one other question I had on the issue of that these funds would be used for the maintenance and improvements of these facilities. Would you clarify what is intended by that?
Well, go ahead, Mr. Antwi.
Madam Chair, thank you for your question. The bill would focus on two projects that are part of the Landside Access Modernization Program. One is a consolidated rental car facility, and the other is an automated people mover. And so for the consolidated rental car facility, we want this revenue source to be available to deal with the construction and maintenance of that facility. But with respect to the automated people mover, this would also be a significant revenue source for that purpose. We think up to 45% of the cost as prorated by the number of passengers that are taking the trip to the terminals. So it's a big contributor to the people mover and it's the main source for the consolidated rental car facility.
So, seeing and hearing no other questions, any other questions?
Sure. I think it's really just about the construction. From a bond perspective, I mean, unless you use the revenue stream after you do the financing, it only can be for capital improvements. If there's maintenance, if there's an ongoing fee for maintenance after the capital is done, I would imagine that would be the case. But it seems to me it's principally for construction purposes.
With respect to the bonds, yes, but the statute does make it eligible for the maintenance as well.
The other financing. Yeah.
Right. Yes, Senator Morlock.
This is an existing fee, correct?
Correct.
Not a new fee?
No.
Correct.
How did San Diego get in at Lindbergh Field? How did that get into this discussion?
Current law sets the alternate customer facility charge as available to all airports in the state. And so in addition to San Diego, we believe Burbank Airport has used this source. San Jose used the source. I think Fresno has used the source. This is about expanding the category of costs at LAX specifically.
And it has no bearing on the other 31 airports?
No, it's written specific to LAX.
Thank you.
Obviously, I think this is an issue that's going to become a bigger, more sort of universal question for the airports within the state at some point, probably sooner rather than later, probably arguably a needed discussion to have. And I want to be clear that while there's certainly merit to clarifying when and by whom these fees may be collected, that is a discussion that I think is appropriate in the discussions in the coming years, that it's not relevant to this particular legislation, but I do think that it is something where all stakeholders are properly engaged, where we have discussions with the other airports throughout the state of California as we go forward. I think this is an important one as we try to move people and create a more consistent system and a more attractive one to the people who use our airways, but at this point, this bill is very much focused on Los Angeles, and perhaps will be a template or perhaps not, but that is what we are here today to determine the merits of this bill. And so with that, if you would like to close, Assemblyman Ridley Thomas.
No better than you just did, Chair. Thank you very much for your consideration.
Always a gracious man. Thank you, sir. All right. No debate, no further debate. Please call the roll. This is a measure that is due pass to the Senate floor. Please call the members.
Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Morlock?
Aye.
Morlock, aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Anderson, aye. Hertzberg?
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. Leno?
Aye.
Leno, aye. Monning?
Aye.
Monning, aye. Wieckowski?
Aye.
Wieckowski, aye.
7-0, that bill is out, and that concludes our hearing for today. We are adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.